Amen. Because they are no gods. You know, God said we worship gods that are no gods. Amen. And they really don't know anything because they're nothing but man's made objects and man's affections that are set on nothing that has any tangible ability to do anything for anyone in this world. But I'm thankful my God knows all about me. I'm thankful that my God knows my every trial, my every trouble, my every weakness, and He's able to sustain me, to help me, and to encourage me when I need help. Amen. Now, I want you all to start praying about something. I asked our adult Sunday school class. You see this here? Most of you don't know what it is. Amen. But one of our Sunday school classes was challenged to come up with a track that they could give to their friends and who would touch their friends. You know, young people can relate to young people better than anybody can. Amen? You know, somebody who's been delivered from drug addiction is able to relate to somebody that's suffering from drug addiction better than someone who's never been there. Amen? Someone who's been an alcoholic is able to witness and tell somebody who's never dealt with alcoholism what alcohol can do. A young person, amen, that's just a young person is able to relate to another young person better than an old person can. Amen? If they know the Word of God and if they have the Word of God hidden in their heart. And Bryson took up the challenge and he wrote a track and what he wanted to say on it and wanted to have on it. And Sister Denise took it and had it printed out. She couldn't find anything like we normally use for our tracks. So she had them done on these small postcards, and they turned out really nice. Amen. And it's an awesome track. And we're not going to give them to you the next Sunday. Next Sunday's Youth Sunday. We're going to hand them out next Sunday and ask you to start passing them out. Amen. But I want you to start praying that God would take this little track that says right on the back, track by Bryson Crowell, age 13. Amen. This young man took the time to write this track. And I tell you what, it's awesome. He says, have you ever thought that once you die, you won't be dead forever? Well, because of Jesus, God's only Son, that's possible. In fact, in Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. This is because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if you accept Him into your heart as your Savior, you too can live eternally with Christ. If you'd like to be a Christian and have this assurance, ask Jesus into your heart. Believe on Him and His Word and confess that you are a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Then on the back it says, the bad news. That's the good news. The bad news is just plain. Amen. The bad news is that if you don't take Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, you will go to hell and suffer eternally in the lake of fire. Then shall He say unto them on His left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil. Matthew 25:41. Believing on all this will get you saved when you die. You will see Jesus' face and no longer will you be shackled by sin because He'll forgive you. Thy sins are forgiven, Luke 7:48. What an awesome testimony. Amen. What an awesome track. And I'm thankful that a young person in our church had enough of the gospel in him, amen, and enough of a desire to come and write a track to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. You know, it just lets us know that we are getting through, amen. It just encourages and just reinforces that. So be much in prayer for that track, amen. We're handing them out next week, going to start using them, and want to see God move through that little track. We're going to try to see if the company I get to do our other tracks, if I can get them to print it up. If not, I'm going to find a couple printing companies that'll do them, and I'm going to get it done in a regular track form so that we can use them in a powerful way. What do you have, Sister? Go ahead.
Teddy.
What? Come here. When missionaries come and they share what's going on in their missionary, we support Tabitha's Pantry as one of the outreach ministries of our church as one of our mission works. Joanne's their director, so I'll let her share with you what's happening.
One of our friends, Teddy Short, he's our spackler, and he's got cancer really, really bad, and he's in hospice care. So I went over on Friday at lunch, and had Brother Joe Newsom meet me over there so that he could talk with them. And, you know, we talked about getting saved, and Teddy accepted the Lord.
Amen.
And then, Liz, last Friday, his brother came over to the pantry, and he said, you know, Teddy told me he accepted the Lord. I said, well, he said, then I'll meet him in heaven. I said, well, that means you accepted the Lord too, right? He said, oh, yeah. That's what he said. I'm like, good, but I'm just so excited that Teddy got saved. So
amen.
It could only be, it's only days now.
Amen. You know, that's what the pantry work is about. Amen. Just seeing a soul get saved. And if we don't see another soul get saved, everything that we've put into that is worth that one soul. Amen. Now, we have seen fruit from the labor that goes on there. And I tell you what, God's still saving souls. Sister Kathy shared with me, and I know it was in a testimony service, but I tell you what, it's good just to tell what God has done sometimes. Amen. Sister Kathy shared with me how just a couple of weeks ago, her and Sister Pam Peters went to visit with a lady up at Abbey Manor. How old was she? 104? She's 104 years old. Didn't know Christ Jesus as her Savior. And they'd been talking with her, and Pam and Kathy had both been sharing about Jesus with her. And they went in together to visit with her. 104 years old, she accepted Christ as her Savior. Amen. God still saves sinners. Amen. And we don't have the promise, and we don't have the assurance that we're going to get to live to 104 years old before we accept Christ. I think Brother Stanley was 75, wasn't he, Brother Stanley, when 72 when he got saved. Amen. We thank God for that, and we're thankful that he still deals with hearts, and he still deals with lives, and we're thankful that he's still dealing with lives today, and he don't give up on us. Amen. He keeps sending people to tell us about Jesus until I believe we get to the place in our heart that we just utterly reject him. Amen. And then we'll have to face what that tract that Bryson said, depart from me. Amen. And into outer darkness. Turn in your Bibles into 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we want to preach to you a message this morning that God dealt with my heart. How many in here has ever had a problem? That just had one of them days when it just seemed nothing went right. Like an old song says, have you had those days when nothing went right? Amen. And you felt like your rainbow had gone out of sight. Amen. And then it just seemed like one thing after another, after another, after we had one of those days yesterday. Amen. I had to meet a guy at his house at 7 o'clock. I was picking something up, a chicken run that we were picking up, a dog kennel to use for a chicken run to help separate our birds out some and different things. But I went to get him, got my trailer loaded up, and got ready to go, and blew a brake line. Amen. So got there and got that thing picked up and got back. And then I went and dropped it off at Chris's and come here to the breakfast real quick, and then was leaving and going to go to Costco. She'd been sick and hadn't been able to get there, and I wanted to go with her because she got sick Wednesday when she went. So we went up to Costco, and I meant to stop by Bender on the way up and pick guitar strings up, and I forgot them. But we got to Costco, and I got a message from the folks that rent a place from me that their air conditioning had quit working on Saturday. On the hottest Saturday we've had, and they're talking about this could be this week one of the hottest weeks we've had in the last three or four years, amen. You know, their air conditioning quit, and I said, well, I'll just call Roy and get Roy to run over there and take care of it and just pay him to do it. And I called Roy. Roy said, Dennis, I ain't doing it anymore. I don't fool with the air conditioning, blah, 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 blah. So I get a hold of Dale. We was up in Delaware. I wanted to get him taken care of. He's at the beach and couldn't get a hold of anybody. I said, oh, man, yeah. I go home and deal with this. And then I said, well, I'll stop by this other place and get guitar strings on the way back. And I stopped, and they didn't open until noon. I didn't have time to stand around there and fool till noon. And so ran up, had to turn around and run back up Kirkwood Highway to go get guitar strings because I needed them bad. And just one thing after another, just little things, but just seemed like every time you turned around, it was something else slowing you down, something else hindering you, something else to be an aggravation and a frustration. And sometimes we have big things that happen. and they come just one after another, and we get discouraged. And we get bent out of shape, and we get turned around in our journey, and we get to looking at the problems instead of the problem solver. Amen? And we get looking at the issues instead of who has allowed us to be blessed. And I know you found your scripture text this morning. I just thought about the song, and I wanted to share it. I don't have the music to it, but you can all take a part in it. We all have the ability to make some music, amen? But this is called Stand Up, amen? So you know what we do when we read our scripture. If you got this testimony, you just listen to the song. It says, have you ever had a bad day, ever had a sad day? Nothing is going just right. And then you give it all to Jesus, lay it down and leave it, and soon you have an answer inside. Stand up. If you love Jesus, stand up and testify. Stand up and tell us all about it. Stand up, identify. You got to testify. Well, have you ever had a burden, troubled friend, and hurt, and loaded down with much to bear? You thought you couldn't make it, then you let him take it. Then you had a note to fear. Well, stand up. If you love Jesus, stand up and testify. Stand up and tell us all about it. Stand up, identify. You gotta testify. Well, I thought I was a he-man, thought I knew it all, man, thought I knew what to do. Well, I thought I was a hero, but I wound up a zero, but Jesus said you'll make it through. Well, stand up. If you love Jesus, stand up and identify. Stand up and tell us all about it. Stand up and testify. You got to testify. How many can raise your hand this morning and say, he's brought me through? How many can testify to the fact that God is faithful even when we think there's no hope and there's no way and there's nothing that's going to get us through this? God shows up and he steps up and he lets us know that he's on the scene and everything is going to be all right. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let me take you back to verse number 6 for just a moment. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Church, we've got something to be happy about. We've got something to rejoice about. And irregardless of what's happening and what's going on in our lives, we have something that God has promised and given to us that's worth shouting the roof off of the house of God about this morning. Amen. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You know, we live in a world where we're promised that we're going to face problems. We're promised that we're going to face trouble and tribulation. We're going to have those trying days. But we're also told that in this world there are going to be false teachers that are going to promise people things in the name of God and in the name of Jesus that can't be fulfilled. We've been studying about that in 2 Peter in our Sunday school lesson. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were a clean escape from them who lived in error." It says that they allure to the lust of the flesh, to much wantonness. You know, when somebody can tell you something that satisfies you where you are, something can tell you something that satisfies and meets a need that's in the flesh, it sounds good and we want to partake of it and we want to have a part of it. Amen? But we find out so many times and in so many ways that men make promises to us in the name of God, and the promises that they make aren't what they said was going to happen, and we get discouraged, and we get downtrodden, and we get beat up, and we find that many are allured, and they come and make professions of faith, as we talked about in adult Sunday school this morning, because somebody has said something that satisfies the flesh. It makes them think it's going to be all right, and all the problems are going to disappear, and all the poor people are going to be rich. All the hungry people are going to be fed with an abundance and more than they can handle. And everybody that's God's people are going to be prosperous. And the Bible doesn't teach us that thing. In the contrary, the Bible teaches us about the problems that we'll face. In the church of Smyrna, over in Revelation, you'll read that God was speaking to the church in Smyrna, and he told them about the problems that they were going to face, the trials that they were going to go through, the tribulation that was going to be upon them. He told them that you're poor. I know you're poor. Amen. But they was rich in Jesus. Amen. They might have been poor in the things of this world, but they were rich in Jesus. And I tell you, when you find out that you don't have anything but Jesus, you'll find out that he's enough. Amen. When you don't have anything but Jesus, he's all that you need anyway. Amen. When you don't have anything but Jesus, you're richer than the richest man in this world that don't know Christ as their Savior. Amen. And it's easy to get our hearts and our minds. God even told the church there in Smyrna that they had to be aware and to be wary, because the bunch of the synagogue of Satan, the religious crowd, amen, I was going to come in, and the religious crowd, I was going to try to do things. And you know, the religious crowd has always been a problem. Amen. We can go all the way back into the Old Testament and find out the religious crowd always caused problems in people's lives, and always caused problems within the nation. As a matter of fact, it was the religious crowd that hindered the ministry of Jesus in this world. Amen. It was the religious crowd that had Jesus crucified. Amen. It was the religious crowd that persecuted the early New Testament church, as it set about doing what God had instructed them to do. It was the religious crowd. And friend, things are no different today. The religious crowd is still a problem. Amen. But let me tell you, church, there's a group that's set aside. They are called religious, but they're just peculiar. They are notified and they're identified as being a religious, but they're just redeemed. Amen. They are called all kinds of names, but praise God, the name that they love the best is to be called a Christian. They call me crazy. Amen. If I'm crazy, I want more of what I have. Amen. I'm crazy about Jesus because he was crazy about me. Amen. He died for me and he gave himself for me. But we face the problems that we deal with in this world, and we know that the religion tries to tell us that they can satisfy us. We know that psychology and psychologists tells us that they have all the answers. We know that the advertising industry tells you everything that they are advertising is going to solve your problems and meet your need in some manner, some way, in some form, from drugs to alcohol to cars to pleasures. Everything that you can think of is advertised on TV, and it's the answer to your every need. Let me tell you what the answer is this morning. His name is Jesus. Amen. And nothing is ever going to do for you what Jesus is going to do for you. When everything's going wrong, you can still have joy in your heart, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. We face problems, and sometimes we think we're facing these problems alone. We think we're going through these problems, and no one else knows what we're dealing with, and no one else knows what we're going through, and we get discouraged along the way. But friends, let me tell you what, you're not in this thing alone. Just look around you. Amen? Everybody here has been delivered from some problems. Amen? Everybody here is going through some kind of a problem or facing something or has something looming in their future that they're dealing with. As he began this epistle, this letter, as he's writing here, look at all the churches he's writing to. They wasn't in this by themselves. I look at my church sometimes and I see the empty pews and I get discouraged. And then I talk to other preachers and they tell me it's the same way in their churches. I look at the Sunday night crowd and the Wednesday night crowd. And I have other preachers ask me, are you having a problem with people coming back on Sunday night and people coming out on Wednesday night? I said, yeah. And I thought it was unique to me. I went to one of the biggest churches in our area one night for a revival meeting, and there was a few folks singing in the choir. And besides them, I'm talking about a church that seats 500 on a Sunday morning. And we looked around, and there might have been another 25 people in the church besides the choir. And it's a big church. It's a problem that's in every church. It's just like the problems that's in your personal life. Amen. You think it's you alone. But Peter said, look, all you churches are going to be dealing with this. But we can come together and we can find strength. We can come together, we can find help. We can come together and we can find hope. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'd be there in the midst. Amen. That's why we come out. That's why we worship. That's why we try to encourage and to help one another. That's why we assemble together. Not just to worship God, but to be an encouragement and a help to one another. That's what the Bible tells us we are to do. Amen. Be an encourager. Be a helper. And strengthen somebody. Let them know they're not in this thing alone. Amen. We can have joy and greater peace in our life when we realize, hey, we got a support system behind us. And you know, you got Christians that'll pray for you when you got a problem if you just ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. But you need to ask for the right reasons, that your life might be a testimony unto him. We can have joy and we can rejoice in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our trouble, because we know we have something that the world don't possess. Verse number 3 says, blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what I have that the world don't have? I have life. Amen. I don't just have life as the world knows it. I've got eternal life. Amen. He said he's given us a lively hope. That word lively means alive. Amen. I've got a hope that extends. I've got a hope that goes beyond. I got a hope that is greater than what this world has to offer me, because I have Christ in life. Life in Christ Jesus, amen. And I know I have life in Christ Jesus because he was raised from the dead because he was lifted up. He was the first fruits, the Bible says, of those that had died and had defeated death, hell, and the grave. And praise God, he promised me that I could have the same thing in him. Amen. And I tell you what, I don't care how bad it gets, they can't take that away. Amen. I don't care how much of a problem I got to go through. The problem can never take away what Christ has given me. Amen. What the world has given, the world can take away. But what Christ has given, the world can never touch. Amen. The world can try to hinder. The world can try to confound it. The world can even persecute me for it. But they can't take it away. He says, I have a lively hope, a living hope in Christ Jesus. In verse number 4, he says we can have joy in the midst of our problems, and we can rejoice because of the inheritance that we have. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The Bible tells me that I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. That means I'm going to inherit. Who inherits the Father's possessions? Who inherits the parents? Things that they have gathered. It's their children, most likely. It's their children the way the Bible has it set up and is supposed to be. And praise God, the Bible tells me I was adopted by the blood of Jesus into the family of God. One day when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the price had been paid, the way had been made that I could be adopted. And I became an heir that day and a joint heir with Jesus. I became a part of something that I never knew anything about. And now I have an inheritance that's uncorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. Everything I have here one day is going to disappear. The Bible says it will disappear with the fervent heat. Amen. If it don't decay and fall down before the Lord comes back, when he sets this world on fire and he destroys this old world, it's all going to fade away and melt away and disappear. It's not going to be here any longer. Oh, but praise his name. I have an inheritance, a place that is prepared for me. The old house that I live in is going to fade away. You know, we got the old farmhouse up there, and nobody lives in it anymore. It's just falling away and fading away. And if something's not done soon, it's probably going to just fall in on itself one day. Our brother Adam's parents had an old farmhouse that sits out along old Route 272. And they deemed it uninhabitable and unrepairable. And they put a new house up alongside it. And one day, if no one does anything to it, it's going to decay. It's going to fall apart and fall in on itself. Oh, but praise his name, what he's prepared for me. The home that he set for me in the glory world. The home that he told me he was going to prepare for me. The city that I'm going to dwell in. I will never fade away. It will never disappear. Praise God, I want you to know something. There are cities that were once great cities that have disappeared from the face of this earth. But that heavenly city, that new Jerusalem, will never fade. It'll never corrupt. There'll never be anything that defiles it there. And praise God, I have an inheritance in that. Amen. I'm thankful in Jesus' name that I have been promised what he has. Listen what he says in verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I can go through the trials of this world because I have a power that brings me through them that's not of this world. I have a power that's able to do what he says over there in Ephesians, exceedingly and abundantly above all that I ask or think. Amen. I can rejoice in knowing though they may deliver me up to die, though they may deliver me up to cut my head off like they do the Christians over in the Middle East there when ISIS captures them, and you see them lined up there on the most striking one to me was the ones lined up on the beach there, and they were about ready to have their heads chopped off. for the cause of Christ, because they claimed Jesus as their Savior, and they could be delivered if they would deny Jesus and would ask their captors to accept them back into Islam. They could be spared, but they chose to choose the way of death rather than to defile the testimony that they had for the cause of Christ. He was willing to die for them, and they were willing to die for Him. Praise God. You know, it gave them the spiritual fortitude. You know, it gave them the spiritual ability to stand and to proclaim such a thing. It's the power of God that worketh in their lives, amen, and strengthens them in life's darkest hour. I was talking to Sister Peggy earlier, and she was telling me that the problems she has are because God was mad at her because she didn't want to get as old as she got, amen. She was worried about turning that old or something. I said, don't worry about it. He's still been good to you, amen. I remember reading about the church of Smyrna over there in Revelation. You read about the church of Smyrna. Its first bishop was a man by the name of Polycarp, amen. Polycarp, he was the bishop of the church of Smyrna, and the people hated Polycarp because he was a Christian, and the locals, the officials, they liked old Polycarp. He was a likable fellow, and they gave him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to deny Christ and to pronounce that Caesar was a god and Caesar was the Lord. And Polycarp looked at his accusers and he told them this. He said, 86 years my God has been good to me, and how could I deny Him now for all the good things He's done for me? You know what helped him to stand and to make that proclamation? It was the power of God, the power of the living God, the power of the one who can dwell within you and help you overcome. He can help you rejoice. When they took Polycarp and was about to nail him to the stake on the pile where they were going to burn him, he said, you need not nail me here. He said, listen, the power that has kept me all these years will keep me upon this fire, even though it may bring and it may mean my demise. And as they lit the flames and as they tried to kill that old man, the Bible says the fire just engulfed and circled around him and wouldn't even touch him and wouldn't even burn him. Why do you think that is? I believe the power of God was resting upon his life. I believe the power of God was sustaining him for his faith in Jesus. And they finally had to spear him with the sword to bring death to him so that the flame would consume him. And I want you to know something. That same power, it isn't talked about in the Bible. That's just a witness and a testimony that history brings us. That same power that enabled the Christians in the ancient Roman Empire to go and be fed to the lions without denying their faith. That same power that has helped countless Christians down through the years to stand for Christ is the same power that's available to you and I today. Amen. Had that book, I don't know whoever wound up with it last, Martyr, Been a Martyr for Jesus. That was an awesome book. You might not agree with the denomination of the religion, but that man was arrested by the communist, was beaten unmercifully, tortured for Christ. And yet he stood and proclaimed Christ every opportunity he got. What did that? The power of God. Brother Sorovchek stood right here. I'd like to get Brother Peter back sometime because most of you never got to meet him. But are here now. I'm going to write him sometime, see if when he's in the States if he can stop by and visit with us. He lived in Yugoslavia, when Yugoslavia was under communist rule, behind the Iron Curtain, before the Berlin Wall fell. He went into a communist labor camp where they worked you to death if they could. Went in there determined that he wasn't going to deny Jesus but he just wasn't going to preach about Jesus. He's just going to keep to himself and hope that he can make it out. But it wasn't too long that the people that were in the prison with him seen something different. God's people were a peculiar people. Amen. Peculiar people will stick out. Amen. And he said they began to think I was an informant. They began to think perhaps I was a plant that was put there. And they came to him. And he had to just tell them outright, I'm not a communist plant. I'm not a government agent. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. You know what made the difference? You know what made him stick out? Was the power of God. Amen. You know what to get you through your problems and bring you through the trials? It's the power of God. You know what to make you stick out in this world when you can go through these trials and tribulations and face the problems that life presents to you in your life and how you get through them with rejoicing in your heart? It's the power of God. Amen. You know what can sustain you in your darkest hour? It's the power of God. You know what can bring you through the deepest valleys and take you to the highest mountains? It's the power of God. Amen. You know what can bless you in the midst of a service where you don't want to be, but God moves in and he gets a hold of your heart. It's the power of God. You know what causes someone to begin knocking at your heart's door as you sit under the preaching of his word? It's the power of God. You know what it is that can take a sinner that deserves to split hell wide open and clean him up and make him anew and make a new creature in Christ? It's the power of God. And if he can do all that, praise God, he can bring me through my trials and my troubles and the tribulations that I face here below. Amen. Look what else he says in verse number 7. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of God. You see, we go through trials so that our faith can grow. We face situations and uncertainties and doubts in life so that our faith can grow. We hear things from the doctor that we never thought we would hear and we never wanted to hear so that our faith can grow. Amen. We find out that we're lost and on our way to hell and without hope in this world outside of Jesus so that that little bit of faith, that measure of faith that is within us can be put into action and can grow to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. And once we have obtained that saving faith, every trial that he brings us through, every valley that he brings us through, every temptation that he delivers us from, helps us to realize and know that our faith can grow unto the appearing of Christ Jesus. Our faith can continue to move forward in a way that we never dreamed would happen, and would grow and grow and grow and would multiply itself to where in the darkest times of our lives, how we can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," because our faith has grown to the point how we trust him regardless of anything else. Amen. Paul said he preached the gospel in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, not with excellency of speech, he said. He didn't have the greatest speaking voice. Matter of fact, over in 2 Corinthians, he says that they talk about his contemptible voice. He probably had a voice that wasn't real pleasant to hear. But he preached Christ in demonstration of the power. But he did that for a reason. So people didn't get wrapped up in the person. Didn't get wrapped up in Paul. He said that your faith should stand in the wisdom, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, when we see God's working in our lives and we have our faith and trust in God, people can begin to realize as they look upon us that our faith doesn't stand and what men are relying on. Brother Billy Moorfield's dad pastored this church. Matter of fact, he's the one that married my wife and I. And Brother Billy, as a little boy, started getting sick. He started having problems. He started losing senses. He lost his taste and his smell. He began to lose his hearing. He went blind. And they had him in AI DuPont in the children's hospital. And they had all the doctors, the best children's hospital probably in the world, if not one of the best. And they had the greatest doctors of the day trying to figure out what was causing this little boy's body just to shut down. He lost all his senses. They were all shutting down. And they were getting nowhere, and every day he was just getting worse. And he was getting worse. And Brother Russell Moorfield told them, said, sign my boy out of here. He said, I know what can make a change in his life. I know what can affect a difference. And they argued with him about taking him out, but he signed him out. He brought him home, and the church parsonage was right down the road here. He took him home and put him on the couch, laid him down there, and he called every man of God that he knew that had a reputation of being able to pray through and to get a hold of God to come into the house and to gather around that little boy, and they began to praying for him, and churches began to praying for him, and people were praying for him unrelentlessly, and suddenly the miraculous took place. His hearing began to come back. He began to smell things and to taste things, and his eyesight began to come back. The Lord had begun to turn things around through a power that only he had and only he could do, and it wasn't long until he was up. He's one of the greatest preachers of our time today. People go for miles to hear Brother Billy Moorfield preach, and I praise God for the testimony that he has. But you know why God was able to do that? Because God had a dad. I realized that the power he needed was within Jesus, and had the faith to trust in Jesus to do what only Jesus could do, that the power of God might stand in the wisdom of men. Amen. But in our faith to what he's able to do in our lives, the world couldn't understand it. The doctors couldn't understand it. But Brother Russell, just an old dumb hillbilly Billy from Tennessee, believed it and trusted it and was willing to put it into action. And God did exceedingly and abundantly above what everybody thought or felt. Amen. Listen. Verse number 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Friend, I want you to know something. Saints of God have went to their deaths through the years singing the songs of Zion. Singing the songs of praise. They said the old Christians, as they were being crucified, instead of crying out in pain and begging for mercy, would sing the song. Sing the praises of God. Joy unspeakable. They couldn't concede and they couldn't understand how people who were facing such persecution could continue to sing and continue to praise God in the midst of suffering and in the midst of trials, because they had joy unspeakable and full of glory. What can take away the joy of knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to know that in a few short hours, a few short minutes, a few short seconds, perhaps even you was going to be dispatched from this world into the glory world. They was going to chop your head off. They was going to crucify you. They was going to feed you to the lions. And you knew that as soon as you closed your eyes in death in this world, you was going to open your eyes on the streets of gold in the glory world in the presence of your Savior. That's joy unspeakable and full of glory. glory. I think that's what Paul had in his life. When he's writing his swan, they call it a swan song. It's not a swan song. It's his departure note, letting everybody know he's going to have a change of address. He said, for the time of my departure is at hand. Praise God. He knew they were getting ready to cut his head off, and he knew what was going to happen. He said, I've been faithful. I've walked and done what God has told me to do, and now I'm ready to leave. I can leave everything here behind because I know what's waiting for me on the other side. He didn't whine, they're going to kill me. Praise God. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. He told the Philippians, he said, man, my heart's desires to be go on. He said, but I'm staying here because it's needful for you for me to be here. Amen. Why is the church left in this world? We're left here to be a witness that God's still good. We're left here to tell a suffering world and a struggling people that there's still something to rejoice in, something to rejoice about. Where we're left here so that the world can know that there's still hope beyond what the world tells us we have. Receiving in verse number 9, the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We have a salvation that brings a blessed hope to our life, that puts a song in our heart because we have a faith to know that the power of God is able to do what he said he's going to do. And he's promised us that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that gives me something to rejoice about. I don't know about you, but I'm going through some trials and troubles as long as I'm in this flesh and in this world below. But I just want to stop by and tell you that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting about Jesus' goodness all the way, and I want you to go with me if you want to go. If you want to know, if you want to experience what God can do, the joy that we know in serving Christ is yours this morning. Amen. It's yours for the asking. Yes. It's yours for the taking. You just have to want it. Brother Jim, Sister Mary.